inside another body part. Big freaking deal. Maybe that's why people find it so easy to cheat. Because sex is actually inconsequential. No different than two people shaking hands. Maybe having sex with your boyfriend for the first time means as little as having sex with your dead sister's fiancé. Clara, Miller says my name between heavy breaths, between movements. Then he stops. I open my eyes and pull away from his neck, allowing my head to fall back onto my pillow.
Am I hurting you?
I shake my head. No. He brushes hair from my face and runs a thumb down my wet cheek.
Why are you crying?
I don't want to talk about it, especially not right now. I shake my head. It's nothing. I try to pull him against me again, but he separates himself from me and then rolls off me. I feel strangely empty now.
Did I do something wrong?
He asks. I hate the worry in his eyes. I hate that he's thinking any part of my reaction has anything to do with him, so I adamantly shake my head. No, it's not you, I swear. He looks relieved, but only for a fraction of a second.
What is it? You're scaring me,
he whispers. It's not you, it's my mother. We got in a really bad argument tonight, and I'm just... I wipe the tears away with my hands. I'm so angry at her. I'm so angry, and I don't know how to process it. I roll over onto my side so I can face him. She and Jonah are having an affair. Miller pulls back a little, shocked.
What?
I nod, and I see the sympathy in his expression. He places a soothing hand on the side of my head. Earlier, when I got home, I walked in on them in the kitchen. I got so angry. It's the angriest I've ever been in my life, and I think I might actually hate her. Like, I'm having all these thoughts about how much she's betrayed my dad and my aunt. I can't stop thinking about everything I can do to get back at her and punish her because all I can think about is how she deserves to suffer too. I lift up on my elbow. They haven't been gone long enough for her to even be thinking about anyone other than my father. Which is why I'm pretty sure it was happening before the wreck. Miller is quiet for a moment, staring at me with a perplexed look, probably unsure how to comfort me when I'm this upset. He falls onto his back and stares up at the ceiling.
That's why you called me over here?
His voice has a sharp edge to it, even though it's still a whisper.
Because you're mad at your mother.
His reaction is staggering. I reach out and put my hand on his chest, but he grabs my wrist and flicks it off him. He rolls over and sits on the edge of the bed, his back to me. No, Miller, no. I'm saying no, but that word is a lie and we both know it. I place a hand on his shoulder, but he flinches when I touch him. He stands up, and I hear the snap of the condom as he pulls it off and tosses it angrily into the trash can next to my bed. He slides his boxers on and then steps into his jeans. He won't even look at me. Miller, I swear that's not why I called you over here. He's walking across my bedroom.
Why'd you call me then? You weren't ready for this to happen tonight.
He snatches up his shirt and finally looks at me. I expect to see anger in his eyes, but all I see is hurt. I'm sitting up on the bed, the blanket pulled up to my chest. I was, though, I promise. I wanted to be with you, that's why I called you. I'm desperately trying to recover, but I think I've ruined this. It's terrifying me. He takes a step forward, waving a hand in my direction.
You're upset with your mother, Clara. You didn't want me. You wanted revenge. I knew you weren't ready. It was weird. It was... He releases a frustrated rush of air. I use the sheet to wipe some of my tears away. I called you because I was upset, yes. But being so upset is what made me want to be with you. He's already got his shirt over his head, but he pauses as he's pulling it down over his chest.
I would have come over, Clara. Without the sex. You know that.
Why can't I stop offending him? I don't want to hurt him, but that's all I'm doing right now. He reopens the window, and the last thing I want him to do is leave. I didn't mean to hurt him. I didn't mean to drag him into this, but I don't want him to leave me alone right now. Miller, wait. He's about to climb out the window, so I plead with him again, moving to the edge of my bed, still wrapped up in my blanket. Please, it wasn't personal, I swear. Those words pull him away from the window and back toward the bed. He lowers himself in front of me and cups my face with both hands.
You're right. That's why I'm so upset with you. The one thing that should be the most personal to us wasn't personal at all.
His words rip through me, and a loud sob breaks from my chest. I can't believe I did this. It feels like I've stooped to my mother's level. Miller releases me and starts to climb out the window, and I cover my mouth with both hands, unable to stop the feelings from tearing through me. It's not just what I've done to Miller, it's everything. I feel everything. I feel the loss of Jenny and the absence of my father and the guilt over how they died and the betrayal of my mother and the pain I caused Miller. And it's so much all at once that I don't think I can do this anymore. I crawl back up my bed and bury my face into the pillow, but I really just want to pull the covers over my head and close my eyes and never feel any of it again. It's too much. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. I feel the mattress dip beside me, and when I roll toward him, he wraps his arms around me and pulls me against him. It makes me cry even harder. I try to tell him I'm sorry, but I'm crying so much I can't even get words out. Miller presses soft lips against the side of my head, and I struggle to say it. But the only word I'm sure he can make out is sorry between sobs. He doesn't tell me it's okay, or that he forgives me. He doesn't say anything. He spends the next several minutes silently comforting me while I cry. My face is pressed against his chest, buried deep into his shirt. When I can finally find my words again, I use them over and over. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You're right, and I feel terrible. My words are muffled against him. I'm so sorry. He's gently cupping the back of my head.
I know you feel bad, he whispers. I forgive you. But I'm still mad at you.
Despite his words, he presses a kiss into my hair. And that's all the forgiveness I need from him right now. He should be mad at me. I don't blame him. I'm mad at me. He lies with me for a while, but when I'm no longer crying, he pulls away and looks down at me, running his hand over my cheek.
I should probably go. It's getting late.
I shake my head and look pleadingly into his eyes. Please don't. I don't want to be alone right now. I can see the 3 seconds of contemplation swirling around in his eyes before he nods. Then he sits up on the bed and takes off his t-shirt. He bunches it up and then reaches over and slides it over my head.
Wear this. I slipped my arms into the t-shirt, and with the cover still on top of me, I pulled the t-shirt over my hips. It's not lost on me that even after everything that's happened tonight, he still hasn't seen me naked. He never even looked when I dropped my towel. He slips under the covers with me and pulls me to him so that my back is pressed against his chest. We share a pillow. We hold hands. And eventually, we both fall asleep, angry at different people, but both hurting the same.
Chapter 25. Morgan. I thought washing baby bottles while praying for Armageddon was rock bottom, but maybe I was wrong. I think this might be rock bottom. What do people do when they hit rock bottom? Wait until someone throws them a rope? Wither away to skin and bones until the vultures come and find them? I'm on my bed, where I've been since last night, except I gave up trying to sleep. Now that the sun's about to come up, I don't see the point. I walked to Clara's room a couple more times, but didn't even bother trying to knock. She turned her music up to drown me out, so I decided to give her the night to hate me before attempting to ask for her forgiveness. Maybe waiting to start therapy was a bad idea. I thought it would be better to wait a few months, let the hardest parts of the grief settle. But obviously, that was a mistake. I need to talk to someone. Clara and I both need to talk to someone. I'm not sure this is something we can fix on our own. I don't want to talk to Jonah about it, because he'll just apologize and tell me it'll be okay and assure me it'll get better. And maybe it will. Maybe a rain will come that'll flood the pit I'm in, and I can float to the top and climb out. Or at least drown. Either one seems appealing. Even if we start therapy right away, nothing will change what happened last night. Nothing will change the fact that my daughter saw her mother kissing her dead father's best friend so soon after his death. It's unfathomable. Unforgivable. All the school counselors and therapists and conversations and self-help books in the world will never get that image out of her head. I'm completely mortified. Ashamed. And no matter how many texts he sends me, 7 since he left here last night, I am not speaking to Jonah again. Not for a long time. I don't want him in my house. I don't like what his presence does to me. I don't like the person it turns me into. Kissing him last night was one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made, and I knew that before I even let his lips touch mine. Yet still, I did it. I allowed it. And the worst part is, I wanted it. I've wanted it for a long time, probably since the day I met him. Maybe that's why I feel like such a piece of shit right now, because I know if Jonah hadn't left all those years ago, we might have eventually ended up in the same position as Jenny and Chris, sneaking around. Betraying our spouses, lying to our families. My anger with them hasn't subsided since last night. I've just developed a new anger that is just as intense, but this time it's directed toward myself. There isn't a life lesson I could teach Clara at this point that wouldn't make me out to be a hypocrite. I feel like anything I say to her from this point forward will mean nothing to her. And maybe it shouldn't. Who am I to raise a human? Who am I to teach someone morals? Who am I to help guide someone else through life when I'm wearing a blindfold and running in the wrong direction? I jolt upright in bed when I hear a rapping on my door. So help me God, if it's Jonah Sullivan, I am going to be pissed. I throw my covers off and pull on my robe. I haven't even had a chance to speak to Clara yet, so until I speak to her, I don't want to even bother talking it out with Jonah. I rush through the house to get to the door before he wakes her. I swing it open but take a step back when I see Mrs. Nettle standing on my patio with the screen door open. "Just making sure you're alive," she says. "Guess you are." She releases my screen door and it slams shut against the frame. I speak through it. "Why were you assuming I'd be dead?" She keeps walking, limping away with her cane. "There's a window screen on the ground over on the side of your house. Thought someone might have broken in and murdered you last night." I watch her until she makes it to her patio, ensuring she doesn't fall. Then I close the door and lock it. Great, a broken window screen. Something else Chris would have taken care of if he were still alive. I'm walking into my bedroom when I pause. I was Clara's age once. Window screens don't just fall off on their own. Did she sneak out last night? I spin and walk straight to her bedroom. I don't even knock because she's probably not even inside to answer me. I push at the door, but it's locked. It's just one of those hook locks that can easily be lifted and bypassed. I hate that I'm resorting to breaking into her room, but I need to see if she's actually gone before I get dressed and go find her. I grab a hanger from my closet, then slip the hanger up the crack in her door until it catches on the lock. When it releases, I push at the door, but it doesn't open right away. Did she barricade herself in her room? God, she might be angrier than I thought. I shove my hip against the door, moving whatever it is she pushed against it. I get the door open a few inches and I peek inside. I release a huge sigh of relief. She's still asleep. She didn't sneak out. Or if she did, she's home now, and that's the most important thing. I start to pull the door shut, but I pause when I see movement. An arm wraps over Clara's stomach. An arm that isn't hers. I throw my whole body against the door to open it. Clara sits straight up in bed, startled. So does Miller. What the hell, Clara? Miller is standing now, scrambling to put on his shoes. He reaches to the nightstand and grabs condoms, shoving them in the pockets of his jeans like he's trying to hide them before I see them. But I definitely saw them, and I'm angry. And I want him out of my damn house right now. You need to leave. Miller is nodding. He looks at Clara with eyes full of apology. Clara covers her face. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Miller starts to walk around the bed, but then pauses and looks at Clara, then me, then Clara, then down at his bare chest. That's when I realize Clara is wearing his shirt. Does he expect her to give it back to him? Is he an idiot? He is. She's dating an idiot. Get out! Wait, Miller, Clara says. She snatches the shirt she was wearing yesterday off the floor and walks to her closet. She closes herself inside so she can change shirts. Miller looks like he doesn't know if he should listen to her and wait for his shirt or run before I murder him. Lucky for him, it only takes Clara a few seconds to change. She opens the door and hands him his shirt. Miller pulls on the shirt, so I yell at him again, this time with more force. Get out! I look at Clara, wearing just a t-shirt that barely covers her ass. Get dressed. Miller rushes to the window and starts to open it. He really is an idiot. Just use the front door, Miller. Jesus. Clara is wrapped up in her bedsheet now, sitting on her bed, full of rage and embarrassment. That makes two of us. Miller slips past me nervously, looking back at Clara. See you at school. He whispers it, as if I'm unable to hear him. Clara nods. Honestly, she could sneak any guy into her bedroom, and this is the guy she chooses. Clara won't be at school today. Clara looks at Miller as he reaches the hallway. Yes, I will. I look at Miller. She won't be there. Goodbye. He spins and leaves. Finally. Clara tosses the sheet away and reaches to the floor to grab the jeans she wore yesterday. You can't ground me from school. My worry about whether I have the right to parent her is non-existent right now, thanks to my anger. She isn't going anywhere today. You are 16 years old. I have every right to ground you from whatever the hell I want to ground you from. I glance around her room, looking for her phone so I can confiscate it. Actually, mother, I'm 17. She slips a leg into her jeans. But I guess you were too busy with Jonah to remember that today's my birthday. Shit. I was wrong. This is rock bottom. I try to recover my muttering. I didn't forget, but it's obvious I did. Clara rolls her eyes as she buttons her jeans. She walks to her bathroom and comes back out with her purse. You aren't going to school like that. You wore those clothes yesterday. Watch me, she says, shoving past me. I'm pressed against the frame of her bedroom door as I watch her walk down the hall. I should be running after her. This isn't okay. Sneaking a boy into her bedroom is not okay. Having sex with a guy she just started dating is certainly not okay. There is so much wrong here, but I'm scared it's beyond my parenting abilities. I don't even know what to say to her or how to punish her, or even if I have the right to at this point. I hear the front door slam and I flinch. I grip my head and slide down to the floor. A tear rolls down my cheek and then another. I hate it because that means a raging headache is going to follow. I've had headaches every single day since the accident, thanks to the tears. This time I deserve the headache. It's like my own actions have given permission to her rebellion. They have. She'll never respect me again. A person can't learn from someone they don't respect. It just doesn't work that way. I can hear the faint sound of my phone ringing down the hall. I'm sure it's Jonah, but part of me wonders if it could be Clara, even though she hasn't even had time to back out of the driveway. I rush to my bedroom, but I don't recognize the number. Hello?
Mrs. Grant?
I grab a Kleenex and wipe my nose. This is she?
I'm the technician who'll be repairing your cable today. I just wanted to let you know that someone will need to be home from 9 until 5 so that I can have access to do the repairs.
I sink onto the bed. Seriously? You expect me to sit in this house for the entire day? There's a pause. He clears his throat and says,
It's just policy, ma'am. We can't enter an empty residence.
I get that it's policy for someone to be here, but you can't give me a smaller window of time? Maybe 2 hours? 3?
It's difficult for us to pinpoint a particular time, because every repair varies in need.
Yeah, but come on, an entire day? Why do I have to stay in this house for 8 fucking hours? Oh my God, I'm cussing at the cable technician. I shake my head, pressing my palm against my forehead. You know what? Just cancel it. I don't even want cable. No one has cable anymore. In fact, you should probably start looking into other careers, because apparently being a cable technician is no longer sustainable. I end the call, and then I toss my phone on the bed and stare at it. Okay, okay. This is rock bottom. This is definitely rock bottom.
Chapter 26. Clara. I get to school half an hour early. There are only a handful of vehicles in the student parking lot, and Miller's truck isn't even one of them. There's no way I'm walking into Jonah's classroom early, so I pull the lever on my seat and lean back. I'm not going to cry. In fact, I'm not even angry right now. If anything, I'm numb. So much has happened in the last 12 hours that I feel like my brain must have an emergency shutoff valve. I'm not sad about it. I prefer this feeling of numbness to the anger I had last night and the embarrassment I had this morning when my mother was so rude to Miller. I get it. I snuck a boy into my room. I had sex. That's really shitty. But she lost her privilege last night to tell me what is and isn't shitty behavior. I flinch at the knock on my passenger window. Miller is standing next to my car, and I no longer feel numb because seeing him springs a little bit of life back into me. He opens the door and takes a seat, handing me a coffee. He's never looked so good. Sure, he's tired, and neither of us have brushed our teeth or our hair, and we're wearing the same clothes we wore yesterday. But he's holding coffee and looking at me like he doesn't hate me. And that's a beautiful thing.
Figured you could use the caffeine, he says.
I take a sip and savor the heat against my tongue and the sweet caramel sliding down my throat. I don't know why it took me so long to appreciate coffee.
For what it's worth. Happy birthday?
He says it like a question. I guess it is. Thank you. Even though this is the second worst day of my life.
I think yesterday was the second worst day of your life. Today still has a chance of looking up.
I take another sip and grab his hand, squeezing it, sliding my fingers through his.
What happened after I left? Did she ground you?
I laugh at that. No. And she won't.
You snuck me into your room last night. Not sure how you can get out of that one, even if it is your birthday.
My mother is a liar, a cheat, and a very bad example for me. I decided this morning I'm no longer following her rules. I'll be better off just raising myself. Miller squeezes my hand. I can tell he doesn't like what I'm saying, but he doesn't talk me out of feeling this way. Maybe he thinks I just need time to calm down. But time won't help. I'm done with her.
What did Lexi say when you told her what happened?
I glance at him, raising an eyebrow. Lexi? He nods, sipping his coffee. Shit, Lexi! I crank my car. I forgot to pick her up. Miller laughs.
Well, in your defense, you've had an eventful morning.
He leans in and kisses me.
I'll see you at lunch.
I kiss him back. Okay. He grabs the door handle and goes to get out of the car. I squeeze his arm, needing to say one more thing. When he falls back into his seat and looks at me, I lift my hand to the side of his head, not knowing what words to use to convey how sorry I am for last night. I stare at him, my heart full of remorse, but I seem to have forgotten how to verbalize anything at this point. Miller leans forward and presses his forehead to mine. I close my eyes, and he remains there for a moment. He brings his hand up to the back of my neck and caresses it.
It's okay, Clara, he whispers. I promise.
His lips briefly meet my forehead before he gets out of my car and closes the door. I am fully aware of what an asshole move that was last night. I'm still mortified by it. So much so, I already know I'm not telling Lexi what happened between Miller and me. I'll never tell anyone. And I hope, someday, we'll have a redo of that moment. Because I certainly did a great job of ruining it. I was so early to school that when I finally made it to Lexi's house, she didn't even know I had forgotten her. She walked out of her house with a wrapped gift and a Mylar balloon that said, "Get well soon" on it. She does that a lot. Waits until the last minute, until it's too late to find the appropriate card or balloon or wrapping paper. Half the stuff she gives me is normally wrapped in Christmas paper, no matter what time of year it is. I still can't believe my mother forgot my birthday. At least Miller and Lexi remembered. Even though I've only been 17 for a few hours, I'm proud of my newfound maturity. When I walked into Jonah's classroom half an hour ago, I made it all the way to my seat without punching him. Even when he told me good morning. Even when his voice cracked as he said it. I didn't even make eye contact with him. He's been lecturing for about 20 minutes now, and I haven't done a single thing I've fantasized about doing during the 20 minutes I've been in his class. I've wanted to scream at him, call him an adulterer, tell the entire class about his affair with my mother, hack the intercom system to tell the whole school. But I haven't done any of those things, and I'm proud of myself for it. I've remained extremely calm and composed, and as long as I keep my eyes off him, I think I might be able to make it through the entire class and escape without a confrontation. 17 looks good on me. I'm practically an adult now, thank God, because I can't rely on my mother to raise me anymore. Lexi, Efren is growing on me. I'll have my first Friday off since we've been talking, and he just asked if I wanted to go on a date. I smile when I get her text. Me. What'd you say to him? Lexi. I told him no. Me. Why? Lexi. Kidding. I actually said yes. I'm shocked. He's so short. But he's kind of mean to me, so it makes up for all the many things he lacks. She's the pickiest person I know when it comes to guys. I'm honestly very surprised she agreed to go out with him. Relieved, but surprised. I start to type out a text to her when Jonah says,
Clara, please put your phone away.
My chest heaves at the sound of his voice. It makes my skin crawl.
I'll put it away when I'm finished with my text.
I hear a couple of people gasp in the room, like I just cussed him or something. I continue typing my response to Lexi. I need to ask administration if I can switch classes. There's no way I can look at Jonah for the rest of the year. I don't want to be in the same room as him, the same house as him, the same town as him, the same world as him.
Clara.
He says my name with a gentleness, almost as if it's a plea not to make a scene. He can't allow me to text when no one else is allowed to have their phones out. I understand his awkward predicament, not wanting to call me out, but being forced to. I should feel bad, but I don't. I kind of like that he's uncomfortable right now. He deserves a dose of how I've felt since I saw his hands pawing at my mother while his tongue was in her throat. God, I can't get it out of my head no matter how hard I try. I lift my eyes and look at him for the first time since walking into his classroom. Jonah is standing at the front of his desk, leaning against it, his feet crossed at the ankles. He's in teacher mode. Normally, I would respect that, but right now, all I see when I look at him is the man who cheated on my Aunt Jenny. With my mother. When he nods his head toward my phone with a pleading expression, silently asking me to put it away again, all I see is red. I grip my phone in my right hand and I hurl it toward the trash can near the classroom door. My phone crashes against the wall and falls to the floor in pieces. I can't believe I just did that. Apparently, no one else in the class can believe it either. There's a collective gasp. I think one of those gasps is mine. Jonah stands up straighter and walks to the classroom door. He opens it and points out into the hallway. I snatch up my backpack and push myself out of the desk. I march to the door, more than ready to leave this room. I glare at him as I pass through the doorway. I'm sure he's about to walk me to the office, so it doesn't surprise me when he closes the door to his classroom and follows me.
Clara, stop.
I don't. I'm not listening to him or my mother. I'm done listening to the remaining adults in my life. I feel it might be counterproductive to my mental health. I feel Jonah's hand grip my upper arm, and the fact that he's trying to stop me and have a conversation with me infuriates me. I yank myself from his grip and spin around. I don't know what's about to come out of my mouth, but I can feel anger raging its way up my throat like a rapid. Right before I can lash out at him, he closes the gap between us and wraps his arms around me, pressing my face against his chest. What the hell? I try to push against him, but he doesn't let go. He just squeezes me tighter. His hug enrages me, but it also causes me to lose focus for a moment. I wasn't expecting this. I was expecting to be sent to the office or suspended or expelled, but I certainly wasn't expecting a hug.
I'm sorry, he whispers.
I try one more time to push him away, but I don't try very hard because he's wearing the same kind of shirt my dad was wearing the last time he hugged me goodbye. A soft, white, button-up shirt that feels nice against my skin. My cheek is pressed against one of the plastic buttons, and I squeeze my eyes shut, not knowing what to do, because even though I hate Jonah right now, his hug reminds me of my dad. He even smells like my dad a little. Like fresh-cut grass in a thunderstorm. When his hug doesn't ease up at all, I start to cry. Even Jonah's hand against the back of my head feels just like my dad's. I hate myself for this, but I lean into him and let him hug me while I cry. I miss my dad so much. I feel more sadness than anger right now, so I let Jonah hug me because it feels better than fighting. I miss him so much. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how I went from throwing my phone across the room to sobbing against his chest, but I'm just glad he's not dragging me to the office. He waits until I've calmed down a little, and then he presses his cheek to the top of my head.
I'm sorry, Clara. We both are.
I don't know how truthful he's being, but even if he is sorry, I don't think it's going to change anything. He should be sorry. Being sorry is the least he could do to right his wrong. I just can't understand this level of betrayal. I can't understand how my mother can walk around one minute, supposedly full of grief because she lost her soulmate, but then the next minute, her tongue is down his best friend's throat.
It's like neither of you even cared about them.
Maybe I wouldn't be this mad if I had walked in on my mother kissing a random stranger. But Jonah isn't a stranger. He's Jonah. He's Jenny's Jonah. He pulls back, dropping his hands to my shoulders.
Of course we care about them. What you saw, that had nothing to do with them.
I pull away from his hands. It had everything to do with them. Jonah sighs, folding his arms over his chest. He really does look remorseful. A small part of me wants to stop being so angry, just so he won't have that look on his face anymore.
Your mom and I, we just... I don't know. I can't explain what happened last night. And honestly, I don't want to. That's for you and your mother to discuss.
He takes a step forward.
But that's the thing, Clara. You need to discuss it with her. You can't lock yourself in your bedroom forever. I know you're angry, and you have every right to be, but promise me you'll talk to her about this.
I nod, but only because he seems so sincere about it. Not because I'm actually going to talk to my mother about it. I don't feel quite as angry with Jonah as I am with my mother, because this really isn't even his fault. I feel like 90% of my anger is placed on my mother. Jonah and Jenny weren't even married, they hadn't even been dating that long. And my dad isn't Jonah's brother, so his betrayal and my mother's betrayal are on two different levels. Two different continents. Jonah should feel guilty, but my mother should feel like scum. I look up at the ceiling and run my hands down my face. I drop them to my hips. I can't believe I threw my phone.
It's your birthday. You get a free outburst, just don't tell the other students.
I'm surprised, but I actually find it in me to laugh at that. Then I sigh heavily. It sure doesn't feel like my birthday. It's hard for today to feel like my birthday when my own mother forgot about it. Guess that means our traditional birthday dinners are over for good. Jonah points to the classroom door.
I have to get back in there. Go wait out the rest of this period in your car. I at least need the class to think I punished you.
I nod and take a step away from him. He walks back toward his classroom, and part of me wants to tell him thank you. But I have a feeling I'd immediately regret that. I don't really have anything to thank him for. If we're keeping score, he still owes me about 1,000,000 free passes. The next three periods sail by without a single assault. Progress. I haven't seen Miller since first thing this morning, and it's kind of killing me. We usually text each other throughout the day, but my phone is probably at the bottom of Jonah's wastebasket. When I finally make it to the cafeteria for lunch, I can see the relief spread across Miller's face when I approach the table. He scoots over and puts space between him and Efren.
You okay?
He asks as I take a seat.
Rumor has it you threw your phone at Mr. Sullivan.
I might have hurled it in his general direction, but I was aiming for the trash can.
Did you get detention?
No. He took me out to the hallway and gave me a hug. Hold up, Lexi says. You threw your phone and he hugged you? Don't tell anyone. I had to pretend I got punished. I wish I had an uncle teacher, Lexi says. Unfair. Miller presses his lips to my shoulder and then rests his chin there.
You okay, though? He whispers.
I nod because I want to be okay, but the truth is today sucks. Last night sucked. These past few months have sucked, and I can't seem to catch a break. I can feel heat behind my eyes, and then Miller brings a hand up and squeezes the back of my neck.
It's nice out. Want to go for a drive in Nora?
That's the only thing that could probably make me feel any sense of relief right now. I would love that. I've skipped a funeral with him, done drugs with him, gotten detention with him, snuck him into my bedroom, lost my virginity to him. In comparison, skipping half a day of school seems like an improvement in my behavior. Miller drove us to the city park. It edges a large pond, one my dad used to take me fishing at on days like this. Miller sits under a shade tree and spreads his legs, patting the ground between them. I sit down with my back against his chest, and he wraps his arms around me as I adjust myself until I'm comfortable. My head is leaning against his shoulder, and his cheek rests against the top of my head when he says,
"What was your father like?"
It hasn't been that long, but I still feel like I have to jog my memory to answer his question. He had such a great laugh. It was loud and filled up the entire room. Sometimes it would embarrass my mother in public because people would turn and look at us when he laughed. And he laughed at everything. He worked a lot, but I never held it against him. Probably because when we were together, he was actually present. Wanted to know about my day, would always tell me about his. I sigh. I miss that. I miss telling him about my day, even when there was nothing to tell.
He sounds great.
I nod. What about yours? I feel a movement in Miller's chest, like a silent, unconvincing laugh.
He's not like your dad was. At all.
Did he raise you? I can feel Miller shake his head.
No. I spent time with him here and there growing up, but he was in and out of jail. Finally caught up to him when I was 15 and he got a longer sentence. He'll be out in a couple of years, but I doubt I'll have anything to do with him when he gets out. It had been a while since I'd seen him when he got arrested, anyway.
So that's why my father made that comment about Miller's dad, about the apple not falling far from the tree. My father was wrong, obviously. Do you keep in touch at all?
No, Miller says. I mean, I don't hate him. I just realize some people are good at being parents and some people aren't. I don't take it personally. I'd just rather not have a relationship with him.
And your mom? I ask. What was she like? I feel him deflate a little before he says,
I don't remember her very well, but I don't have any negative memories of her.
He wraps one of his legs around my ankle.
You know, I think that's where my love for photography came from. After she died, I had nothing to remember her by. She hated the camera, so there are very few pictures of her. Not much video. It wasn't long after that when I asked Gramps for my first camera. I've had it in his face ever since.
You could probably make an entire movie just of him. Miller laughs.
I could. I might. Even if it's just something I do for myself. So, what happens when he...
I'll be okay,
he says with finality, like he doesn't want to talk about it anymore. I understand why. A father in prison, a dead mom, a grandpa with terminal cancer. I get it. I wouldn't want to talk about it either. We sit in silence for a while before Miller says,
Crap, I keep forgetting.
He pushes me forward a little and then jogs back to his truck. He comes back with his camera and a tripod, then sets it up several feet away from us. He slips between me and the tree and resumes our position.
Don't stare at it this time.
I'm staring at it when he says that, so I look out at the water. Maybe we should just cancel the project.
Why?
My mind is all over the place. I've been in a perpetual bad mood.
How bad do you want to be an actress, Clara?
It's the only thing I want to be.
You're in for a rude awakening if you think you're going to show up on set in a good mood every day.
I exhale. I hate it when you're right. He laughs and kisses the side of my head.
You must really hate me, then.
I shake my head, gently. Not even a little bit. It's quiet again. Across the lake, there's a man with two little boys. He's teaching them how to fish. I watch him, wondering if he's cheating on their mom. Then I feel the anger return now because I feel like I'm going to be looking for the worst in people for the rest of my life. I don't want to talk about Aunt Jenny or my dad or Mom and Jonah, but the words pour out of me anyway. The way Jonah talked today, he really did sound remorseful. Like maybe their kiss was an accident or a one-time thing. I want to ask her about it, but I'm scared she'll be honest and tell me it's way more than that. I kind of think it is, because I know they went to a hotel not even a week after the accident.
How do you know that?
The app. Why else would they have been there if they weren't already involved?
Either way, you need to talk to her about it. There's really no way around it.
I know. I blow out a rush of air. You know, it doesn't surprise me that Jonah would do something like that. He only moved back here and started dating Jenny because he got her pregnant, not because they were madly in love. But my mother? Her and Dad have been together since high school. It's like she had absolutely no respect for my father.
You don't know that. Maybe she and Jonah are just grieving.
That didn't look like grief to me.
Maybe finding solace in each other helps with the grief.
I don't even want to think about that. It's a weird way to grieve. Well, me skipping school helps with my grief, so thank you.
Anytime. Well, anytime except last period. I have a test, so I need to get back soon.
Whenever you're ready.
You doing anything for your birthday tonight?
I shrug. Well, it's always been tradition to do family birthday dinners, but I guess that's out. We barely have a family left. Miller's arms tighten around me. It makes me miss my father's hugs. Even Jonah's hug today made me miss him.
Well, if your mom will let you, I'll take you out.
I highly doubt she's going to let me leave, and I might be too tired to fight her on it.
It makes me sad to think you might spend your birthday alone in your room.
Yeah, well, it's just another day. I wonder what my father would think about seeing me so sad on my birthday. He'd probably be disappointed we aren't continuing the family birthday dinner. I bet Aunt Jenny would be disappointed about it, too. We've never missed one, for as far back as I can remember. It makes me wonder why I automatically assumed the tradition would stop with their deaths. They wouldn't want it to stop. Even though my mother seems to have lost her respect for the tradition, That doesn't necessarily mean the tradition shouldn't continue. At least this way I could see Miller tonight. I sit up and look at him. You know what? I do want a birthday dinner tonight. And I want you to come. He raises a cautious eyebrow.
I don't know. Your mom didn't seem like she'd ever welcome me back into your house.
I'll talk to her when I get home. If she has an issue with it, I'll call you.
You don't have a phone.
I'll call you from our home phone.
People still have those?
I laugh. She's only 34, but she's an ancient 34-year-old. I lean back against him, thinking about my birthday. It really isn't fair if she tries to ground me. If she does, I might throw the Langford in her face. I let a slow roll of air pass through my lungs. The more I think about it, the angrier I get. The idea that the two of them were having a hotel tryst just a week after the accident makes me want revenge. I try not to think about it. I turn around and straddle Miller, and then I kiss him for several minutes. It's a good distraction, but he eventually has to drive us back to the school. I wait out the final class period in my car before going home, which is probably a bad idea, because the entire time I sit in my car, I think about all the ways I can fight for the vengeance my dad and Jenny deserve. I head home, even angrier than when I left for school this morning.
Chapter 27. Morgan. I'm in Clara's bedroom closet, hanging up clothes when she gets home from school. I've been keeping myself preoccupied all day with cleaning, laundry, mindless organization. It's not lost on me that I never left the house today. So I really should have never canceled the cable technician. I could be catching up on Real Housewives right about now. I hear Clara making her way down the hallway, so I brace for impact. I expect her to scream at me or give me the silent treatment. It'll be one or the other. I'm hanging up the last shirt when she walks into her room and drops her backpack on the bed. What are we eating for my birthday dinner tonight? I'm hungry. I stare at her cautiously because I feel like this is some sort of trick. She still wants to do a dinner? That surprises me. But I go along with it, just in case it's sincere. I hope it's sincere. I was thinking lasagna, I say. I know lasagna is her favorite. She nods. Perfect. I might need to run to the grocery store now, but I'd do anything at this point to have an opportunity to open up a conversation with her. And this dinner will be the perfect opportunity. Maybe she realizes that, too. Without Jenny and Chris here, Jonah won't be here. It'll just be the two of us. We're long past due for a serious heart-to-heart. I'm chopping tomatoes for the salad when the doorbell rings. I wipe my hands on a dish towel and begin making my way to the front door. Surprisingly, I'm intercepted by Clara. She swings open the door, and I'm taken aback by the sight of Jonah and Elijah. What is he doing here? Did he really think the dinner was still on after last night? I expect Clara to slam the door in his face, but she doesn't. He hands her a box, and even though I'm on my tiptoes in the doorway to the kitchen, trying to see what it is, I have no idea what he's just given her. Seriously? She sounds excited. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone.
I had an old phone in a drawer at the house, Jonah says.
This is the latest model, though.
I took the old one.
Clara lets him in, and I slip back into the kitchen. Why did he buy her a phone? Is that his way of winning her over? That's not how you parent, Jonah.
I already put your old SIM card in it, so it should be ready to go.
Thanks. It's nice hearing a hint of joy in her voice, but it's hard to feel relief when Jonah is walking into the kitchen behind me. You bought her a new phone? I ask, without turning around.
She dropped hers today in class. It broke, so I gave her one of mine.
I suck in air before turning around to face him. I hate how I feel around him after last night. As brief as that kiss was, it feels like it's still lingering, like I can still taste him on my lips. What are you doing here?
Clara called about an hour ago. She said her birthday dinner was still happening.
I look in the direction of Clara's room with narrowed eyes. What is she up to? Jonah shrugs, adjusting Elijah in his arms.
Maybe she's okay with it.
With what?
With us.
She's not. And there is no us. With that, I spin around and finish making the salad. Jonah takes a seat at the table and begins playing with Elijah by making faces at him. It's adorable and awful. I can't stop stealing glimpses of him because his interaction with his son is breathtaking. Maybe even more so because I know Elijah isn't even his biological child. Yet the love Jonah has for him is the same as if he were. I hate that Elijah is a result of Chris and Jenny's betrayal, but I love that it doesn't matter to Jonah. Seeing him with Elijah is making me think too many good thoughts about him, so I walk over and take Elijah from Jonah, just so I can stop the feelings that are rocketing through me. I sit at the table and turn Elijah toward me. He smiles. He gets excited to see me now, and it melts my heart every time.
You need help with anything? Jonah asks.
You can put icing on the cake, I suggest. Anything to get him out of my line of sight. Jonah just finishes icing the cake when the doorbell rings again. We both look at each other with confusion.
You expecting anyone else?
I shake my head, then hand him Elijah before I head to the front door. But once again, Clara is rushing across the living room, beating me to the door. When she opens it, I freeze. Miller Adams is standing in the doorway. He looks nervous, but I have no time to register his appearance or even yell at him before Clara grabs his hand and pulls him into the house. Jonah is standing next to me now. Clara is dragging Miller toward the hallway when Miller gives us a half wave.
Hey, Mr. Sullivan.
He swallows, and his voice is quieter when he addresses me.
Mrs. Grant.
We don't even have the opportunity to say anything back because Clara has pulled him out of the living room. I don't know what to do, I whisper.
About what?
Jonah asks. I look at him incredulously, but then I realize he has no idea what Clara did last night. I push on his shoulder, shoving him back to the kitchen. He turns to face me, and I'm trying to keep my voice down despite my anger. I caught them in bed together this morning. I hiss. There were condoms on the table. Clara was practically naked. He slept in her room the entire night. Jonah's eyes widen.
Oh, wow.
I fold my arms together and slump down in one of the breakfast nook chairs. She's testing me. I look up at Jonah for a little bit of advice. Do I make him leave? Jonah shrugs.
It's just dinner. It's not like he's gonna get her pregnant at the table.
You're way too lenient.
It's her birthday. She was upset with us last night, so she probably invited him over out of spite. At least he's here, and you'll have a chance to get to know him better.
I roll my eyes and push myself out of the chair. Dinner is ready. Go tell them before he gets her pregnant. This is so awkward. Not only because I know Miller more than likely took my daughter's virginity last night, but because Jonah and I are barely speaking. We haven't discussed what happened between us, and that hangs thickly in the air. Clara has only given me clipped answers when I try to talk to her, so I finally stopped asking her questions because it was embarrassing. Miller and Clara aren't even really talking because she's scarfing down her lasagna like we're at a food-eating contest. Jonah is holding Elijah, feeding him a bottle as he eats. It's cute. So I stare down at my plate and avoid looking at them.
How's the film project coming along?
Jonah asks.
Miller shrugs. Slowly. We haven't come up with a solid idea yet, but we'll get there.
Yeah, because you're too busy doing other things, I want to say. Clara points her fork at Miller's plate. Eat faster. I can see the confusion in his expression. But he picks up his fork and takes another bite. I know exactly what she's doing. She's playing nice, hoping all will be forgiven if she spends her birthday dinner with me. She figures if she doesn't put up a fight, then I won't put up a fight when dinner is over. And she wants to leave with Miller. She's not leaving with him. Not a chance in hell. Clara finishes her food and stands up. She walks her plate into the kitchen. When she comes back, she looks at Miller. You finished? He's mid-bite when she pulls his plate from him, regardless. There's still cake to eat, I say, pointing at the 3-layer chocolate cake in the center of the table. Clara stares at me, hard. She grabs Miller's fork from him without breaking her stare, and she digs it into the center of the cake, then shoves a bite into her mouth. Delicious, she says wryly. She drops the fork and takes Miller's hand. Ready? Where do you think you're going? A ball game, Clara says. It's not a game night. Clara tilts her head. You sure about that, Mom? I mean, you weren't even sure it was my birthday this morning. I knew it was your birthday. I was just momentarily shaken by the fact that your boyfriend slept in your bed last night. Clara smirks. Oh, we didn't sleep. Miller mutters. Yes, we did. From behind her. I look at Miller. You can go now. Tell Clara good night. Clara looks at Miller. Don't leave yet. I'm coming with you. Miller looks from me to Clara, like he's torn. I'd feel bad for him if I wasn't so angry at him.
Miller, it's probably best if you just go, Jonah says.
Clara rolls her head, stopping it when her eyes land on Jonah. If he's leaving, you should go too. You don't live here. Jonah seems over her attitude just as much as I am.
Clara, stop.
Don't tell me to stop. You aren't my dad.
I'm not trying to be.
I'm standing now. This is going way too far. Miller turns and heads for the door, as if he senses the bomb is about to explode and he doesn't want to be injured by the shrapnel. Clara backs her way to the front door. It's my birthday. I'm protesting my punishment on the grounds that it was your example that forced me to break the rules last night. She opens the door. I'll be home by curfew. I start to walk around the table in a rush to the door, but Jonah grabs my wrist.
Let her go.
I look down at his hand clamped around my wrist. You can't be serious. Jonah stands up, forcing my eyes upward because he looms over me.
You need to tell her the truth, Morgan.
No.
You're losing control of her. She hates you. She blames you for everything.
She's 16. She'll get over it.
She's 17. And what if she doesn't?
I can't have this conversation with him right now. She's right. You should go too. Jonah doesn't protest. He grabs Elijah's things and they leave. Jonah doesn't even say goodbye. I stare back at the kitchen table, at all the uneaten food and the near-perfect cake. I slump into a chair, grab a fork, and take a bite of it.
Chapter 28. Clara. I'm leaning against Miller's truck with him when Jonah comes outside with Elijah. I turn and stare toward the road so I don't have to look at him. As evidenced in class today, I get a lot angrier when we make eye contact. And even though he was nice enough not to punish me and then later gave me his phone, I realize he did both those things out of guilt because he knows what he's done. And now he's here, having family dinner with us like my father never even existed. I hear him as he's buckling Elijah into place in the back seat of his car. Then I hear the door close. I blow out a quiet breath, relieved he's leaving, but then suck in another rush of air when I realize he didn't open his car door. I glance toward the front of Miller's truck to see Jonah making his way over to us. My posture grows rigid when he stops, 2 feet in front of me. He places both hands firmly on my shoulders and then leans forward and kisses me on top of my head.
You're better than this, Clara. We all are.
He backs away.
Happy birthday.
When Jonah finally pulls out of the driveway, I roll my eyes and push off Miller's truck. I lean against his chest, just wanting to feel the soothing sound of his heartbeat against my cheek. He presses his chin against the top of my head as he wraps his arms around me.
Is this how it always is?
He asks. Lately, yes. Miller's chest rises and then falls just once. Heavily.
I don't know if I can do this.
I pull back and look up. You don't have to come over anymore. I wouldn't even blame you. Miller is looking at me regretfully.
I don't mean dinner with your family.
I stare at him, long enough to make out irritation in his expression. I take a step back. His arms fall to his sides. It's my birthday.
I'm aware of that.
You're breaking up with me on my birthday? He drags a hand down his face.
No, I'm just...
He can't even finish whatever it is he's about to say. Probably because he knows what a jerk he's being right now. I take another step back. You slept with me last night, and now you're dumping me. Really? I spin around and head back to my house. Guess I was wrong about you, too. I can hear him sprinting after me. He intercepts me before I make it to the front patio. He grips my face with both hands, but it isn't a gentle grip. It's not a rough one either, but based on the anger in his expression, it's not a touch I really want right now.
You don't get to throw that in my face, Clara. I was the one who was taken advantage of last night. Not you.
With that, he drops his hands and walks back to his truck. When I hear him open his door, I flinch. I'm sorry. I face him. I'm sorry. That was a really shitty thing to say and an even shittier thing to do. I walk back to his truck. But why are you doing this? This morning in my car, you acted like you forgave me for last night. I feel panicky. Miller's expression is torn as he taps his fists against the frame of his door. Then he slams it shut and pulls me in for a frustrated hug.
I know you and your mother aren't getting along right now.
He looks down at me, his hands tilting my face up to his.
But I feel like you're using me as your weapon in all these fights against her. It's not fair to me.
I didn't know it was going to turn into what it turned into.
It's your fault it turned into that. You weren't the victim there tonight, Clara. You were the instigator.
I shrug myself from his grip.
You have a bad memory if you think tonight was my fault.
In case you forgot, I found out my mother has been having an affair with Jonah. Miller opens his door and gets in his truck. I plant myself in the space between him and his door so that he can't shut it. His head falls against the back of his seat.
I want to go home.
I'll go with you. He rolls his head until he's looking at me.
I want to go alone.
I'm not going to beg. I did enough of that last night. That's unfortunate. I back away so that he can shut his door. He cranks his truck but rolls down the window.
I'll see you at school tomorrow.
His voice has lost its edge, but it does nothing to make me feel better. He's leaving me alone on my birthday. I realize dinner was a mess, but my entire life is a mess. What's new? I turn around and walk away from his truck.
Clara!
He's confusing as shit with all this back and forth. I spin around and march back to his window. You know what? I don't need this. I don't want a boyfriend who makes me feel worse when I'm already down. I don't want to date you anymore. I'm breaking up with you. I back away, but realize I'm not finished with my point, so I step back toward his truck. They disrespected the two most important people in my life. They disrespected me. Am I just supposed to pretend I'm fine with it? Is that the kind of girlfriend you want? Someone who just gives up and lets other people win every time? Miller's arm is hanging casually over his steering wheel. His voice is calm when he says,
"Sometimes you have to walk away from the fight in order to win it."
Hearing him repeat those words infuriates me. I stomp my foot. You don't get to break up with me and then quote my dead aunt.
I didn't break up with you. And I'm quoting you.
Well, you should stop. Don't quote anyone. It's unattractive. If it's possible, Miller somehow looks amused.
I'm going home now.
Good!
He looks behind him and begins to back out of the driveway. I'm standing in the same spot, confused by our argument. I don't even know what just happened. But did we just break up? I can't even tell. Miller presses on the brake and leans out his window.
No, we're just having an argument.
Fine! Again, he looks amused as he backs onto the street. I want to wipe the smirk off his face, but he's already leaving. When he rounds the corner, I walk back inside the house. My mother is standing in the living room, staring down at her phone. It's on speaker. She's listening to a voicemail. I walk in on the tail end of it. She didn't sign out at the office, so we're just calling to let you know she'll need to bring a note to excuse her from her afternoon classes today. My mother ends the call before the voicemail is over. You skipped school today. I roll my eyes as I brush past her. It was only 3 classes. I had to get out of there. I couldn't breathe. I still can't breathe. I slam my door, and tears are streaming down my cheeks before I even fall against my mattress. I grab my new cell phone and call Lexi. She answers on the first ring, because she's dependable like that. She's the only dependable thing in my life right now. This? I suck in a series of quick breaths, attempting to choke back tears. This is the worst birthday. The worst. Can you... I suck in more breaths. Come over. On my way.
Chapter 29. Morgan. I pull a few of Chris's shirts out of the closet and remove the hangers from them. I drop them into a trash bag I'll be donating to a church. Lexi showed up 30 minutes ago. I debated on not letting Clara have her over, but I'd almost rather Lexi be here than for Clara to be alone right now. I was relieved to see her when I opened the front door earlier because I could hear Clara crying from my bedroom, and she refuses to speak to me. Or maybe I don't want to speak to her. I think it's best if we just don't speak until tomorrow. Now that Lexi is here, Clara is no longer crying, which is good. And even though I can't make out what they're saying, I can hear them talking. At least I know she's home and safe, even if she does hate me right now. I pull 2 more of Chris's shirts out of my closet. Since the week after Chris died, I've slowly been getting rid of his stuff. I've been doing it a little at a time, hoping Clara doesn't notice. I don't want her to think I'm trying to rid this house of the memory of him. He's her father, and erasing him isn't my goal. But I am trying to rid my personal space of him. I threw his pillow away last week. I threw his toothbrush away this morning, and I just finished packing up the last of his dresser. I expected, in all my digging around, that I would find something he was sloppy about. A hotel receipt, lipstick on a collar. Something that would show he was a little careless in his affair. Aside from the letters he kept locked away in his toolbox, I find nothing else. He hid it well. They both did. I should probably take the letters out of my dresser and put them away before Clara accidentally runs across them. I pull a box of his things down from the top closet shelf. After I got pregnant with Clara, Chris and I moved in together. We didn't have much because we were just teenagers, but this box is one of the few things he brought with him. At the time, it held little mementos like photographs and awards he'd won. But over the years, I've been adding other stuff to it. I consider it our box now. I sit on the bed and look through loose pictures of Clara from when she was a baby. Pictures of me and Chris. Pictures of the 3 of us and Jenny. I inspect every picture, assuming I'll find some kind of hint of when it started. But every picture just paints a portrait of a happy couple. I guess we really were for a while. I'm not sure where it went wrong for him, but I do wish he'd have chosen any girl in the world other than Jenny. That was the least he could have done. Or maybe it was Jenny who chose him. I pull an envelope out of the box. It's full of pictures developed from a roll off one of our old cameras. Jenny isn't in many of the pictures because she was the one who took most of them. But there's a lot of me and Chris. Some include Jonah. I stare hard at the pictures of Jonah, trying to find one where he looks genuinely happy, but there isn't one. He hardly ever smiled. Even now, it's a rare thing. Not that he wasn't happy. He seemed happy back then, but not like the rest of us. Jenny would light up around him. Chris would light up around me. But no one made Jonah light up. It's as if he was stuck in a perpetual shadow, cast by something none of us were aware of. I flip through the final three pictures, but something about what I see causes me to pause. I pull the three pictures out, taken in sequence, and study them. In the first picture, I'm in the middle, smiling at the camera. Chris is smiling down at me. Jonah is on the other side of me, looking at Chris with a desolate expression.